Welcome back to Simply Superior. I'm Robin Washington, and I'm joined by Danielle Kading, the Superior-based reporter for Wisconsin Public Radio News. Hello, Danny.
Hi, Robin.
And Rick Lubbers, the executive editor of the Duluth News Tribune. Hello, Rick.
Hi, Robin.
So, Danny, the Bear Grease is coming up in a couple of weeks, but there was a tragedy on the training trail.
Yeah, for people who are familiar with Ryan Reddington, you know, he's a two-time winner of the John Bear Grease Sled Dog Marathon, and he's also raced in the Iditarod, finishing in the top 10 the last two winters, and he was out with his sled dog team training on a Bayfield County trail on Saturday when a snowmobiler was coming from the opposite direction and appeared to intentionally swerve at them. And Reddington's dogs, you know, they all had reflective gear and blinking harnesses, so it should have been easy for the snowmobiler to see them. But unfortunately, you know, one of his dogs was injured. Wildfire was injured and had to have surgery because a couple of his legs were broken after this snowmobiler swerved at him and hit him, even though Reddington tried to get out of the way by going off the trail. Now the Bayfield County Sheriff's Office is looking for whoever this might have been, but you know, they weren't really able to identify this person or the make, model, or color of the snowmobile. So right now it doesn't seem like there's really any way to find this person to hold them accountable. But you know, I'm told that they were back out on the trail, you know, and that Wildfire is recovering. I think it was two dogs that were injured, and there's been a GoFundMe page that's been set up to help with, you know, some of the costs related to that.
All right. Back on the COVID front, there's ongoing controversy about school mask mandates.
Yeah, you know, the surge of the Omicron variant has prompted state health and education officials this week to recommend that schools come out and require masks to help prevent exposure to the virus. They've also asked schools to follow, you know, testing programs to monitor for COVID, and also follow new guidance from the Centers for Disease Control that were issued earlier this month before kids came back. And that basically requires students, teachers, and staff to quarantine for a minimum of 5 days after a close contact with someone who has COVID, and then isolate for 5 days after first showing symptoms. And, you know, related to the mask requirement, last fall, the Superior School Board had made a decision to make masks optional for students who were eligible for vaccination, and the staff who work with those students. But it required masks for younger students, like in elementary school, who were ineligible. And it had dropped that requirement for elementary students after winter break, since kids 5 to 11 were authorized to get the Pfizer vaccine in late October. But with cases surging to record levels across the state and nation, the school board began requiring masks in all district buildings in Superior as of Wednesday this week. And WDIO-TV reported that 5 students and 1 staff member have positive COVID-19 tests in the week before winter break. But essentially, that shot up more than 10 times that amount, with 65 students and 20 staff members reporting positive COVID-19 cases after winter break, as many families were spending time together over the holidays.
And speaking of COVID numbers, what's the latest tally for the state?
Yeah, well, the state is seeing more than 10,000 new COVID-19 cases each day, and has essentially since the beginning of the year. And just for perspective, you know, back in November 2020, when we were seeing the height of the pandemic at the time, you know, we only had around 8,000 cases each day. And now we're averaging more than 9,500 cases each day. So the Omicron variant has really caused this virus to spread. It's much more contagious than the Delta variant. And unfortunately, too, this week, Wisconsin reached another unfortunate milestone, surpassing the number of hospitalizations that we saw in the peak of the pandemic in November of 2020. Now there's almost 2,300 people who have been hospitalized, mostly the unvaccinated, and There's only 63 ICU beds available across the state as of Wednesday, and only 3 were available across 26 hospitals in northwestern Wisconsin. So, you know, health officials are recommending, again, as everyone has heard, that the best thing that people can do for healthcare workers right now is to get vaccinated and get their booster dose.
All right. Well, Rick, last week we talked about a huge fire in Superior. There was another in Duluth this week.
Yes, there was. Firefighters in Duluth definitely fought a major fire this week. On Monday, the Esmond Building, formerly home to the Seaway Hotel, was destroyed in a fire. Duluth Fire Department crews battled the flames for nearly 7 hours. Not only did they battle flames, but they battled extreme cold with sub-zero temperatures and wind chills around 35 degrees below zero. The cause of the fire is unknown and remains under investigation by the Duluth Fire Marshal's Office. The Esmond had already been condemned and set for demolition. In July, the Duluth Economic Development Authority approved a development agreement to demolish it and raise a new apartment building in its place.
And most importantly, no one was hurt, correct?
Yes, that's true.
Well, if we make it through fires and the sub-zero temperatures, how about dealing with noise if you live around the airport?
Well, according to Tom Warner, the executive director of the Duluth International Airport, the airport in Duluth receives a relatively low volume of noise complaints compared to many other airports. But even so, the airport is currently asking its neighbors to participate in a noise study. The airport actually began its current study in August of 2019, but the pandemic has slowed the collection of input usually gathered during public meetings. Warner said the goal of the noise study is to understand where noise can be hazardous to the uninvolved public neighborhoods outside the airport, and then also identify ways that they can reduce not only current noise, but reduce the impacts of possible future noise issues and incompatible uses of land around the airport. It's been about 20 years since the Duluth Airport conducted its last study. Warner also said that noise produced off airport property by civilian aircraft is generally found to be within acceptable limits. However, that's not the case for all the aircraft that use the airfield, namely the military F-16 jets flown by the 148th Fighter Wing. F-16s have smaller wings than civilian aircraft and thus require thrust and afterburner takeoffs. And afterburner takeoffs are very loud.
And we'll stay clear of those planes. We've been speaking with Rick Lubbers, the executive editor of the Duluth News Tribune. Thank you, Rick.
Thanks, Robin.
And Danielle Kading, the Superior-based reporter for WPR News. Thank you, Danny.
Thank you, Robin.
You can stay updated on these stories and all the regional news anytime at DuluthNewsTribune.com and WPR.org. And that's it for this edition of Simply Superior. Our theme song was composed and performed by Bruce Nelson of South Range, and we had incidental music today from Scott Holmes. I'm Robin Washington. Have a good holiday and stay safe, everyone.